I'm Neil Carter, the pastor at Rocky River Presbyterian Church. Thank you for joining us through our podcast. Let me extend a personal invitation as well to join us at RRPC in person on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. This is the Easter season. We explore together resurrection hope as a people of faith. The Lord has risen. The Lord has risen indeed. May you be renewed and empowered, comforted and challenged as we listen to and for God's Word together today.
And now let us prepare our hearts and our minds for worship.
So, people of faith, we have gathered this day that we might worship together. So join me as we call ourselves to worship. God, you alone are my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us.
You alone are our salvation. Steadfast love belongs to you, O Lord.
Today, in our scripture lesson, we hear a story of Jonah, someone who knew of God's mercy for others who were not like him, and he gets mad at God for showing mercy, and therefore he is at odds with who God is. And for those of us, as we claim to follow God and worship God, but for the times that we don't want God to extend that mercy to others, we fall short of who we're supposed to be, and we need to come to God to know forgiveness. So join me this day in our prayer of confession. Holy One, what a blessing and privilege we share here in this sacred space and among this loving community. But like Jonah, we sometimes are jealous of what we share here. We know that others are longing for what we know and experience. Forgive us our reluctance to open our doors, open our hearts to share with others. Some like us, some not. We repent of our hesitations and unwillingness to witness to those we have considered strangers and enemies for fear they just might become friends. Amen. Take a moment for silent confession. People of God, know this. Not the labors of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. That's what brings us to this moment. It's not what we do. It is what God does for us in reconciling us back to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and reconciling us to each other. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel.
Jesus Christ, we are forgiven.
Since God has forgiven us in Christ, let us forgive one another. The peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Share the peace of Christ this day.
Friends, to come up and join me, please, in this big open space. Everybody's got their warm gear. Can come all the way in so we make room for everybody. Kat, I can't see you. Can you slide out a little bit? There you go. He'll come if he wants to. So today I want to share a story from the book of Jonah in the Bible. Now, you may have heard about Jonah before. A lot of times when we hear the name Jonah, we think something about being swallowed by a big fish. So let's very quickly recap that how he got into the fish in the first place, because that's not what our story's about today. So God asked Jonah to go to the city of Nineveh to tell the people there to repent, to change their ways and do better. But instead of going to Nineveh, Jonah got on a boat going the other way. And a big storm came up, Jonah was tossed overboard, a fish swallowed him, and then 3 days later, after Jonah changed his mind and decided to follow God, the fish spit him back up. Blech. Well, since Jonah had disobeyed God, you might think God was done with Jonah. But that's not the case. God gave Jonah a second chance. And this time Jonah obeyed, and he went to Nineveh to tell the people there that God was planning to destroy the city in 40 days because they were making bad choices and were displeasing to God. And you know what? The people in Nineveh listened to Jonah. And all of them, the entire city full of people, decided to repent, to turn around and change their ways, to make better choices. And God saw what they did and decided not to destroy the city. He gave them a second chance. That's a happy ending, right? That's not the end of the story. Jonah got mad at God for saving the people of Nineveh. Jonah was mad that God had shown them kindness and given them a second chance. Even after God had given Jonah a second chance, Jonah didn't think the people of Nineveh deserved one too. I guess he thought that they were somehow worse than him and less deserving of kindness and mercy than him. Well, while Jonah was busy being mad, he was sitting outside the city waiting to see what would happen to it. And God made a leafy plant grow up to give Jonah shade. But then the next day, God caused the plant to die. And guess what? Jonah was mad about the death of the plant. Jonah just seems to be pretty grumpy, doesn't he? Then God pointed out that while Jonah was concerned about the life of a plant, God was concerned about a city of more than 120,000 people and all of their animals, and he didn't want to see them harmed. And that's the end of the story. God gave Jonah a second chance when he disobeyed and then repented, turned around. God gave the people of Nineveh a second chance when they repented and changed their ways. God is willing to give us a second chance when we've messed up and made poor choices too. He will give us the chance and the help to be able to live the way he calls us to live, to love God and to love other people. And we even talked about that in Sunday school a bit this morning about getting God's forgiveness. It's just that easy. All you got to do is ask. God, I messed up. And God will forgive you. And that's good news. So let's pray together. Dear God, thank you for second chances. Help us to make good choices, to love you, and to love others. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thanks for joining me today.
On behalf of the session, I present Bob and Tammy Rimsburg, who are being received into the membership of this congregation by reaffirmation of faith.
So you come to us as a member of the One Holy Catholic Church, which is just an expanded way of saying the church universal around the world, into which you were baptized and by which you have been nurtured. We are one with each other, sisters and brothers in the family of faith. We rejoice in the gifts that you bring to us as you join with us in the worship and service of this congregation. It is fitting that together we reaffirm the covenant into which we were baptized, claiming again the promises of God, which are ours in our baptism. So I ask these questions, and for all of us to think about these as well. Do you turn to Jesus Christ and accept him as your Lord and Savior, trusting in his grace and love?
I do.
Will you be Christ's faithful disciple, obeying his word and showing his love?
I will, with God's help.
So you have now publicly professed your faith, and will you be a faithful member of this congregation, share in its worship and ministry through your prayers and gifts, your study and service, and so fulfill your calling to be a disciple of Jesus Christ?
I will, with God's help.
Join me. With joy and thanksgiving, we welcome you to share with us in the ministry of Christ, for we are all one in him. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give thanks for the Christian family in which we journey together, for no one in you, in Christ, ever walks alone. We walk together, so we welcome Bob and Tammy this day, that they may journey along with us, that we may grow together in faith in the days ahead, share in the joys and concerns of our lives, because that's who we are as a people of faith. May we ever be willing to be led by your Spirit, ever open to welcome all to come journey together and grow as a people of faith right here and right now. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We do welcome you. You folks have already been very much involved and very glad, and we are glad to have you to be a part. Thank you so much.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination. Gracious God, open our ears to hear your call. Give us the insight to know that it is you who calls us through your word. Grant us the courage to go where you send us as we journey with the risen Christ. Grant us the courage to welcome those you send us as we journey with the risen Christ. Amen. Our scripture lesson today is Jonah chapter 3 verses 1 through 10 and chapter 4 verses 1 through 11. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah sent out and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days' walk across. So Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk, and he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. Then he had a proclamation made in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, no human being or animal, no herd or flock shall taste anything. They shall not feed, nor shall they drink water. Human beings and animals shall be covered with sackcloth, and they shall cry mightily to God. All shall turn from their evil ways and from the violence that is in their hands. Who knows? God may relent and change his mind. He may turn from his fierce anger so that we do not perish. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. But this was very displeasing to Jonah, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, "O Lord, is not this what I said while I was still in my own country? That is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning. For I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishing. And now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." And the Lord said, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Then Jonah went out of the city and sat down east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade, waiting to see what would become of the city. The Lord God appointed a bush and made it come up over Jonah to give shade over his head, to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was very happy about the bush. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the bush so that it withered. When the sun rose, God prepared a sultry east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint and asked that he might die. He said, "It is better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the bush?" And he said, "Yes, angry enough to die." Then the Lord said, "You were concerned about the bush, for which you did not labor and which you did not grow. It came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should I not be concerned about Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
So we've had some folks join today. It's a little cold outside. We can be a little homey in here. I'll just throw out a question for you. Rhetorical question, okay? No responses out loud if you don't mind. Since we are Christians and we can't openly wish for things on other people, you know, for them not to do well, that wouldn't seem very Jesus-y, would it? But while we would never say it out loud, who would you really wish would not succeed? Come on, y'all. Seriously. Someone. That high school rival who was really irritating and got on your nerves. How about that fellow at the office who was so grating on who you are? Maybe it's the neighbor who never obeys the HOA rules concerning keeping the lawn mowed or keeping items in the yard. Maybe it's that neighbor who is a stickler for the HOA rules. Who do you not want to succeed? Maybe it's the minister who asks too many rhetorical questions. Now, we've got that question out of the way. Let's get to the real question. Not who do you wish will not succeed. Just between me and you, I won't tell anybody. Get to the real question. Who do you wish will fail? Who do you wish will be defeated? In religious terms, for you Old Testament folk, who do you want to see God to smite? Or smote? Or for you King James folks, who do you wish the Lord would smiteth? Now, hearing the question out loud, you might feel uncomfortable answering it at all because it's rather unbecoming for us as Christians to say that about others. I wish the Lord would smiteth Fred at the office because I don't like him. Or Thelma at the country club because she just chaps my hide. Yes, I know there are verses in the Old Testament that there are such prayers for folks uttering that they wish someone would be smited by God. But to speak of smiting other folks out loud just seems to lack any attempt of civility anymore. Or compassion that we find in the New Testament in Jesus, right? We're Christians. We can't act like that. Such notions should only be kept to oneself and at most uttered under one's breath, under your breath or under mine. I mean, we are Gentile Southern folk. We don't say things like that to other people. Bless their hearts. So I'm in an aisle the other day in a pharmacy in town, and I'm listening to a guy tell someone on the phone that he's hoping that a project nearby doesn't go well because he'd like to see a friend on a council, you know, in a town council. And I'm like, is that what we've come to? That we hope that other people suffer just so our candidate can be in office? Seriously? I don't know, but is that really what we want? Do we really want the economy or something to fail just so someone else can be okay? Hope that people suffer so a candidate of any affiliation make it and be elected, especially to something like a town council? Seriously? This seems a bit vindictive. We're religious folks here. We are people that claim our faith in Jesus is above political party, above our nationality, that God is first in our lives. We are Christians. We worship God. And that takes precedence over everything else that we wish. Even our desires for someone to be smited. Yet, as we enter another campaign year, we are out and about. We hear folks that talk about things, pundits, politicians. He's dangerous. He wants America to fail. She embodies failed leadership. He just doesn't get it. Both ends of the political spectrum, all political spectrums. I'm not calling out one party. You just pick. All sides are like this. Surely we as a people of faith cannot be thrown into these waters of negativity and hatred. Surely we Christians cannot be blown by the winds of the storm of such cynicism. And surely we disciples cannot be swallowed up by such despairing distaste of others. Especially someone like me, a preacher, a prophet, a man of the cloth, whatever that means. I don't know what being a man in the cloth means, other than that I'm supposed to be one. And yet, that's exactly what we get in the story of Jonah. Talking about thrown into the waters of negativity, Jonah. Speaking of being blown by the winds and the storm of cynicism, Jonah the preacher. Speak of being swallowed up by the desperation and distaste for others, even a man in the cloth, Jonah. Today we stand on the shore to hear a wail of a fish tale. See what I did there? You just don't get this kind of stuff anywhere, right? Jonah the prophet, the preacher, thrown into the waters of cynicism, facing the storms of distress, swallowed up by desperation. The story goes something like this from start to finish. God tells Jonah, go to Nineveh, preacher man, and tell these folks 40 days and you'll be overturned. Jonah claims he's a Hebrew who worships God, or at least he thinks he does. He gets on a boat going in the opposite direction. That'd be like this. Jonah lives in Wilmington, North Carolina, and God says, go to Miami and preach. Jonah gets on a cruise liner and goes to Bangor, Maine, the direct opposite direction. A storm blows in while he's on the trip, on the verge of toppling the cruise line that he's on. Jonah explains to the captain, I'm a Hebrew who worships God. He says that, but nowhere in all four chapters of this story does Jonah worship God. As a matter of fact, in this story, throughout the entire book, Jonah is the only person who does not worship God, although he tells folks he does. He goes on to tell the captain, throw me overboard and basically kill me so everybody else will be okay. Jonah would rather be tossed overboard and risk death than have the captain turn back and just go to Nineveh and say what God has told him to say. The captain and the crew finally throw Jonah overboard, and Jonah is swallowed up by a big fish sent by God. The fish listens to God. Jonah, not so much. For two whole verses, two out of four chapters, the big fish gets a cameo appearance. The fish is nothing more than cheap transportation, nothing more than getting Jonah to where he's supposed to be. Jonah arrives in Nineveh. After the fish spits at Jonah out onto dry land, Jonah walks one third of the way into the city, Nineveh, not even to the center of the city, but just about a third of the way in, and says, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. 8 words in English, 5 words in Hebrew. You ever think I'm going to get up here and say a 5-word sermon? No, I'm not. So, did he just phone this sermon in, though? Say these 5 words. Did he preach what God told him to do? Sure he did. He did exactly what God told him to do. And I can just imagine the conversation with God after this. God, I said what you told me to say. I told him what you wanted. I did what you told me to do. Are you happy now? Okay. Will you do me a favor and just leave me alone? Did Jonah really have it in his heart in this sermon? Did he pour his heart into it? I don't know. Either way, no matter what Jonah is thinking, no matter his intent in the sermon, it turns out to be an amazing one. I don't know. With five words, Jonah becomes the most successful prophet in the entire canon of the Hebrew Scripture. He turns an entire city to God with a five-word sermon. 100% conversion rate. Even all the animals. All the animals. Listen again to what Deb read. Humans and animals shall be covered with sackcloth, and they shall cry mightily to God. And all shall turn from their evil ways and from the violence that is in their hands. Even the animals. Can you imagine Jonah can now boast that he's even got chickens and cows to repent? You know how hard it is to be a minister to get anybody to convert to anything these days? And he gets animals to do it? And yet, while Jonah has this great revival story, while he would now be the most sought-after prophet, preacher in the land, everybody would want to hire this guy. You just love our preacher. He preaches five-word sermons. Man, that would get any nominating committee to come get you to be a pastor and hired. They would. And yet, Jonah hates it. He hates where he now stands. Didn't want it, doesn't like it, doesn't want to be a part of it. Most prophets long for such mass revival stories, but the author of Jonah tells us that Jonah was not pleased with his great sermon, not one bit. Jonah has no problem voicing out loud who he wishes to see fail. He does not care that he is a person of faith, a man of a cloth. He cannot stand the Ninevites, and he doesn't mind sharing that out loud. And the rest of the story basically shows that Jonah is displeased with the outcome, weeping, wailing, railing against God, asking God to kill him just because God showed mercy. Jonah doesn't care for the Ninevites. He wants the Lord to smite them. Jonah couldn't stand that God would not smite them. And this was very displeasing to Jonah, and he just gets mad. Now his anger is aimed at God. God, I knew that you were a gracious God. I knew that from the start. I knew you were about love and compassion and forgiveness. Jeez. Slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishing, he says, oh, now, God, please take my life from me, for it's better me to die than live. I would much rather die than you show mercy to people I don't like. God, I knew you were merciful and kind, and I can't stand you for that. Do you hear the irony there? Do you hear? But how dare you, God, show love for people I don't like? Who do you think you are, God? Who do you think you are? I want a God that smites people. Not me, of course, and not people like me. But I want God to smite people not like me. So it's pretty certain that God didn't share Jonah's opinion. God doesn't play favorites, and no matter who the party or person is, God is always willing to extend grace and mercy even to people we want to think of as enemies. God is not near as interested in smiting as we would like. Jonah points out this to us, I think. We don't have to be angels and saints for God to use us. Jonah certainly is a bigoted and hateful person for unknown reasons. And despite even that, God is able to use him. I have to tell you, I like the book of Jonah because I think it's funny. I think there's a great sense of irony here. I like Jonah because he brings me a tad of comfort. Because I can be as every much a bit of a jerk as he is in the story. And even though I can be such a pain, God can still use me, even in spite of myself. And it would seem that not only is Nineveh not to be beyond God's power and God's spirit of mercy as well, Nineveh is also not beyond the scope of God's love and grace and mercy. in response to their repentance, God changes God's mind, we are told. There will be no smiting in Nineveh today. So everybody, there's nothing to see here. Back to your lives. God has shown mercy. But this is where it kind of gets weirder in the story. Jonah, who should be boasting about his great success story, about his preaching, he goes off on this hillside to pout. And turns out he's still wanting Nineveh to be destroyed. So he sits down to watch. Maybe God will smite him instead. Seems that Jonah enjoyed a good hating story for them, I guess. What it makes for us, so what is it about that? That it's we are so fond to love hating other people. Maybe it's fear. That many of us who are afraid that someone else will take away what's ours. They will violate our sense of security and safety. They'll take away, this is my pew. This is my church. This is my community. This is my God. We can be so afraid that we can only respond to certain people that we have decided need to be smited. So sure that we are on God's side and that God is on ours, that anyone who disagrees or differs with us in any way, that they become our enemies, that they also must be God's enemies as well. And if they're God's enemies, we are perfectly have a right to want to smite them. Then when God changes God's mind, then even God is subject to our wrath. God, give me a break. We need some smiting around here. Jonah is sure that he was a part of God's chosen people and that others were not. And all of the grace and goodness that God showered on God's people made them special and no one else, and that they must be immune from the possibility of displeasing God in any way. Jonah's story ends in a really funny way. There's no resolution. As you heard what Deb read, it just ends really abrupt. God says to Jonah, hey, I had to care about these people. These people don't even know the difference between left and right. I got to be there for them, Jonah. And that's where the story ends. As we talked about in Sunday school class, what happens to Jonah here? Tell us. He's still standing on that hill. Did he get over it? Did he finally go, yeah, God, you're right? Or did he just sit there and keep waiting? We are not told. We have no idea. Was he able to move on or not? Here's the real question, though, I think that the writer's getting at. What happens to Jonah really is inconsequential at this point. The real question is, what are we going to do? How are we going to act? Where are we going to go? How are we going to be? How are we going to think? How are we going to deal? Are we going to be like Jonah, be selfish and conceited with claims that we worship God when we really don't? Are we going to go to hold on to our need to have others smited? We're not told what Jonah did. But even at this, are we going to go forward and go, God, you're right. You can show mercy. You can show mercy wherever you choose. And we're just going to continue to be faithful and worship you in spirit and truth and try to grow in ways that we need to grow and feel your mercy. We don't know how the story ends. It's up to you and me and how we live from here on. My desire is that we grow in ways that we can be open to God's mercy for whoever, and that we can continue to share in that. It's up to us. Amen. Let us stand and affirm that which we... Affirmation of faith today is the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Let us pray. Gracious God, from whom all blessings flow, we praise you. We praise you for being a forgiving God and for the fact that you have forgiven us and forgiven those who believed in you, for those who have turned from their sin. Even if they don't know right from wrong, that you show mercy. We pray and seek that the Spirit of Jesus Christ that is with us and in us might show grace to us and to others. May we be gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, patient, abounding in love, forgiving others as you have forgiven us. You know, sometimes that is so hard. It is so hard. And Lord, forgive us for the times when we've played the part of Jonah. When we are sure that we have worshiped you. When we are sure that we are on your side. And more importantly, when we think you are on our side. When we've welcomed your grace for ourselves and our kind, yet we have resented your mercy for others. Sometimes we become angry too quickly, and sometimes we speak out of turn, and we make unreasonable choices, thinking all the while that you are with us on our side. Forgive us if we have been so angry at others and at you that we wanted to die like Jonah, than rather than face a merciful God who is compassionate. Forgive us for the times when we have treated you like you are our God and that you belong to us. Help us instead to be a community of faith willing to be open to the possibilities of your mercy for us and others. Help us to be trusting enough in you that you are God and you are capable of being God, that we can follow you even when we aren't as totally sure about ourselves. Help us to follow in the ways of Christ and to follow the Holy Spirit. And we pray these things in Jesus' name, the one who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As God's people this day, may we be joyful and wonderful givers. Join me in our prayer of dedication. Holy God, steadfast rock of all salvation, we marvel at the strength of your compassion and your ability to offer forgiveness. We come to you hungry to be a part of the good news you are bringing forth, for we would be a part of the realm you are revealing. Amen. Thank you for worshiping with us today. We go with an uncompleted story about Jonah. But we go out into the world where we're going to have to end the story. And it'll end with how we perceive it and how we live from it. Are we going to stand up on that hill with Jonah and pout that God's a God of love and compassion and mercy? Or are we going to go out and share that mercy and be thankful that that's the God we worship and follow? It's up to us. So let's go out and write this story that way, that we are thankful to be a part of a God so merciful, and take the moment to share that mercy with others. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.